This is an excerpt from Charles Luckman's autobiography, Twice in a Lifetime, and it talks about the Forum. Seldom, if ever, has an architectural firm had the opportunity of designing and supervising two mammoth sports arenas at the same time. That good fortune befell us, one on each coast. A man with a reputation as a tough and strong-willed mogul walked into my office one day and presented me with what he called an impossible problem. The man was Jack Kent Cooke, who as a young man had become rich in Canadian publishing and broadcasting, then retired to California, where his interest turned to sports. At our first meeting, he told me that 4 years of retirement had driven both him and his wife to distraction. When football caught his eye, he acquired a 25% interest in the Washington Redskins. He went on to buy the Los Angeles Lakers of the National Basketball Association for $5 million. More recently, he had acquired a National Hockey League franchise for a team he named the Kings, although he had not yet signed any players. He was, to put it mildly, an ebullient, self-made multimillionaire with fiercely held convictions. The Los Angeles Times had described him as a hard-driving, impatient man who at times comes on very strong. During our subsequent 15-year association, I found the Times' description to be an understatement. Nor was he a man to waste time or words. He shook my hand and barked out, "I'm here because I asked several people which architect they would go to if they had an impossible problem. All of them pointed in your direction. I checked you out, and I found that we have a great deal in common. We both started our careers selling soap, and we both became multimillionaires in our early 30s. His impossible problem was of his own making. To get his new Los Angeles hockey franchise, he had agreed to having a team ready to play in his own arena by December 31st, 1967, which was a little less than a year away, and he had neither the site nor the mortgage financing. The arena he wanted had to be a major building, housing an ice skating rink that could be converted to a basketball court on alternate nights. For Cooke, it was an old and cherished dream, his hockey team and his basketball team playing in his arena. He explained to me what he wanted with staccato statements, and then he looked me straight in the eye and asked, "Can you do it in time? To do working drawings, secure the necessary building permits, and construct such a building within 11 months was almost beyond reason. But instinctively, I admired the man and the challenge of the project. 'Yes, it can be done,' I replied. 'Return in 30 days, and we will have a design concept for your new sports arena. If you like it, you'll have to do two things. First, give me authorization to select the general contractor, and second, agree to go to Europe for 3 months.' He laughed, knowing I meant stay away long enough so it would be too late to make changes. I added that we would have to work with a contractor with whom we had previously done, quote, fast-tracked, end quote, projects, like the C.L. Peck Construction Company. That meant the contractor would begin construction while we were still doing the architectural drawings, and we would work in tandem on a very fast timetable. It was risky. If anything went wrong, we would be in terrible trouble. But if everything worked out, we would save an enormous amount of time. During the next month, we worked around the clock, exploring a variety of ideas, and I finally settled on using the age-old Roman Colosseum as our guiding theme. Satisfying a client with a design concept is largely intuitive. Cooke struck me as a lover of the classical. He came to our office for the presentation with two associates. What they saw was a design for a circular building resting on a 5-foot-high stone podium with curved ramps and flights of broad, majestic stairs. On the outside perimeter of the building was a stately colonnade of 80 sculpted concrete arches, each 60 feet high. The roof was a curved dome. At the bottom of the rendering, we had affixed a simple nameplate, the Forum. Cooke stared at the drawings with intense concentration, oblivious to everyone around him. Then he turned to me and murmured, as if thinking aloud, "It's fabulous. That's what we'll call it, the Fabulous Forum." The name stuck from that day on. He turned back to the rendering and studied it again, and then observed, "Charles, Would you give thought to lowering the base the building is sitting on by a foot and having a little less curvature in the ramps? My eyes went cold, my expression flat, and I think everyone noticed the change in the room's climate except Cook, who was still studying the drawings. After a moment's silence, he looked at me and quickly realized his mistake. "Well, fellows," he said to his two associates, "I think we ought to leave so Charles can get back to work. Besides, I have to go see my travel agent." The Forum's Romanesque arches were so huge and heavy that it was impossible to have them made at the factory and transported through the city streets. We had to build our own forms on the site and pour the reinforced concrete arches in place. As each arch was cured, two gigantic hoisting cranes lifted it out of the form and placed it in position on the podium. When it came time to install the huge air conditioning units on the curved dome roof, we used helicopters to lift them and gently place them in position. More than 400 construction workers were employed on day and night shifts. The roof, 400 feet in diameter, was suspended on cables between outside and inside concrete tension rings. This arrangement supplying the enormous strength needed to carry the weight of the roof, the air conditioning, and the electric light grids. This unique concept eliminated all columns within the building and permitted us to place more than 70% of the seats between the goals. Always the great showman, Cook was true to the promise he made me. "If you have the Kings playing by December 31st, I will give you the damnedest New Year's Eve party anybody ever had." When December 31st came and the Forum was ready for the Kings' first home game, Cook arranged a giant ribbon-cutting ceremony at center ice with an audience of 17,000. The ribbon was 85 feet in length and flanked with dignitaries, including the governor, the mayor, the chairman of the board of supervisors, the contractor, and myself. With the band playing, flags flying, and fans shouting, I had the irreverent thought of how furious Jack Kent Cook would be if one of us took a pratfall on the ice.